Good morning, friends. Good morning. Terrific to see all of you out today for our worship service. A beautiful day outside, and I think we have a beautiful service planned as we give thanks to the Lord. Want to mention just a couple of things as far as announcements. Number one, this afternoon, are you having trouble hearing me? Am I on? Okay. This afternoon, the UMW is having their spring fling, and so ladies, if you haven't yet signed up, I think we can still definitely have you come and enjoy a wonderful time this afternoon. Two of my good friends are going to be coming to do the program, Ragatha Callantine and Bo Harris, both of whom are Native American, and they'll be coming to present this afternoon at the Spring Fling, and so we are thrilled for that. On the 28th, I hope that you will put on your calendars to come out and hear our choir present Fare's Requiem. It is a magnificent piece of work. I think that you cannot come away from it feeling uplifted and that you've experienced something wonderful. So please put on the 28th at 7 p.m. to be here with all the rest of our church, all of your friends. Just come on out and enjoy a marvelous evening program. There are other announcements on the worship folder, and so I want you to be sure that you check all of them out. I'm going to take a moment now and introduce a good friend of mine who is here with us today. I have known Reverend Jack Shitama for a long time. Jack has been serving our annual conference, not in a pulpit setting for a whole bunch of years now, but rather in the setting of the Director of Camping and Retreat Ministries for the Peninsula Delaware Annual Conference. And he's in 13 or so plus years of serving in that capacity. And so I'm thrilled to have my friend and colleague here today with us to share in our worship service. We're in the midst of a three-week series about caring for creation. Last week we talked about the whys of it. Why should we care? Next week I'm going to go into a little more detail about how we can do things and what we can do. Today is really a practical life application day. And I thought it was wonderful that Jack could be with us because of many of the projects that McComath has done, not the least of which being a brand new adult retreat center, the McComath River Retreat Center. And he's going to share just a little bit about his work there and how it has benefited the environment and what they've done. And so I'm going to allow for Jack to take a few minutes now, and we'll begin our worship service after that. Jack, okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yes. Typically, when I get invited to visit a church, they give me at least a little bit of time to make a shameless plug for McComath. And so that's what I'm going to do right now, as well as to share a little bit about some of the creation care initiatives that we have there. How many of you have been to McComath? Okay, some of you. If you've not been there, I think it's God's gift to our annual conference. We have 275 acres. It's on the Chester River near Centerville, Maryland. And we have fields and we have forests and farmland and 4,000 feet of shoreline. And it just is really a beautiful, amazing place to be. Our vision at McComath is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world through Christ-centered peace and play in our unique Eastern Shore setting. And the first part of it is actually the United Methodist Church's vision, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. You know, not just to make followers of Jesus, but followers who go out and change the world. And we think our partnership with you, our unique contribution to that, is peace and play. There's something about being there, connecting to the beauty of creation, that helps people to experience God's peace. We're told that over and over again. When I come to McComath, I sense God's peace. And when you think of play, you think of kids and you think of camp. But Jesus said, unless you're like a little child, you cannot experience the kingdom of God. And so we think of play as having a heart like a child, being open to God's newness, being vulnerable, being willing to let God work on us and God's Spirit change us, so that we can go out and change the world for Jesus Christ. So that's what we do. Chris mentioned our adult retreat center. It was opened in September of 2011. We have 24 hotel-style rooms with two queen beds in each room and private bathrooms in each room. It's not really like camp at all. four meeting rooms and a 125-person dining room. And it's a place for adults to come and be comfortable and be in a distraction-free environment to connect with God. A couple of things that we were able to do in that project, we were able to use hardy plank cement fiber siding. It's a 13,000-square-foot facility. And instead of using vinyl siding, which is petroleum-based, hardy plank is actually fiber cement siding. It's really sand, mostly sand, a little bit of wood pulp. And that is considered a sustainable product. Plus, it's maintenance-free. It doesn't have to be painted. And we have a geothermal heating and cooling system that uses the ground temperature, the constant ground temperature of the earth, to reduce heating and cooling costs by 30 to 50% every year. It doesn't just reduce our costs, it reduces energy consumption, which is the important part about creation care. And we installed a $1.1 million wastewater treatment system at the center of camp, at the center of our 275 acres, to take the place of our 17 septic tanks that were all throughout the property, all within 1,000 feet of the Chester River. And each one of those septic tanks would actually put untreated effluent into trenches that would then go into the watershed. And if you know anything about watershed protection, that effluent is filled with nitrogen. And nitrogen is what causes problems for the Chesapeake Bay and its tributaries. Our wastewater treatment system removes 80 to 90% of that nitrogen, then disposes of it through a drip irrigation, a five-acre drip irrigation system, where orchard grass then takes up the remaining nitrogen through crop uptake. So rather than putting untreated nitrogen into the watershed, we now put effluent and remove virtually all of the nitrogen. Those are things that can be done to protect the environment and preserve it for the future, for future generations. A couple other things that we have going on. We just opened a sustainable garden, an acre and a half, in which we won't use any pesticides. It will be, we'll only use biological nutrients. We'll actually have plants like sunflowers and black-eyed Susans that attract what are called beneficial pests, insects, to create an ecosystem where ladybugs and lacewings and insects like that eat your aphids and your pests. The sustainable garden is a way to teach people that local food not only just tastes good, but it actually is a way to conserve energy and to treat our earth better. And so we actually are now serving lettuce already to our guests at the retreat center from our sustainable garden. And finally, we partnered with the Chester River Association to put in what's called a living shoreline. They got a grant from the Chesapeake Bay Trust. And if you're familiar with the rivers and shorelines, a lot of them have rock revetment that kind of keeps the shore from eroding. And we have about 200 feet of revetment right in front of our fellowship hall, which is right on the river. And we're going to remove that revetment and instead put in what's called a living shoreline, which is about a 30 feet deep area of marsh grasses. And what that does is that actually protects our shoreline. It creates wildlife habitat for things like terrapin turtles and other endangered species. And that marshland naturally filters runoff, you know, that brings in, again, nitrogen and other nutrients from the ground and filters it naturally to protect the bay. That will be going in sometime this year. Could be as early as this spring, more likely this fall. But again, it's another way not just to protect our shoreline, but also to teach people, both students and campers and adults, about protection of our environment. So those are the things that are going on in terms of environment. I have to say a little bit about camp, because this is the time of year when people are thinking about coming to summer camp. Camp's at the center of what we do. It always will be. And I tell people nowadays that camp is countercultural. Camp is a place where kids go and ask yourself this question. When was the last time you heard that a young person spent an entire day outside, let alone an entire week? 6 days. The radius of play for a child has changed from a mile when I was growing up to 500 feet. And we know that why that's happened. We know that we live in a world where you just can't let a child wander anymore the way we did when we were young. But what happens when a child doesn't have a connection to the outdoors? We think caring for creation has as much to do with connection to creation as it does to appreciation. And you don't get that connection unless you spend time out of doors like you do at camp. Now, more important than anything is camp is fun. Kids have fun at camp. We do all kinds of fun things. I'll have postcards after the service. And you can get information online about, you can get our brochure online and find out more about camp. What we want you to know, though, is when a young person comes to camp, they don't just have fun. They connect to God and to other people. They experience God in Christian community and creation in a way that they don't any other. Chris's kids come to camp. You can ask them about it. They'll tell you why they come back year after year. But here's my plug, okay? We have a philosophy that every child should be able to come to camp no matter what. Finances should not prevent a child. And so we award camperships to anybody who needs them. Last year, we gave out nearly $28,000 to over 140 campers. And I'm going to read to you what one camper wrote to us. "I just wanted to say thanks so much for helping me pay for going to camp. It was the best 2 weeks of my life. And I'm not even kidding. I think Camp Accomplish would have to be the best camp ever. I learned about God, Jesus, and accepting others more. Camp Accomplish has changed my life. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't go there. I feel like I'm a different person in a way. The counselors are great, the food is good, and the songs that we sing during music time is the best. I love being there. It makes me feel like I'm in another world. You don't have to worry about anything when you are there." Now, it's been a long time since I've been a youth, but I'm willing to say that to be in a place where you don't have to worry about anything is a gift. So if you want to make that gift possible to a young person who maybe doesn't have enough money, whose family doesn't have enough money, here comes the plug. After the service, I'll be in the back with envelopes, and you can donate to our campership fund, or you can donate to any of our other ministries. There's all kinds of options inside. And if you give us a gift of $25 or more today, you will get an eco-friendly, reusable Pacomath shopping bag. Now, you can go to Walmart and get one for 99 cents, but you can get one from me today for $25. That's a deal, isn't it? Okay, so I am shameless, I know. But I don't mind asking because I know the difference it makes in the young people that come to camp. And I know not everybody feels led to give. I know not everybody is able to give. But if you do, know this. It will make a difference in the life of a young person you'll probably never meet. And that difference will likely last a lifetime. Could possibly last for all eternity. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. And so with all of that in mind and thinking about our series about caring for creation, we are setting off on that path today. And so friends, now as we begin our time of worship, let us allow for the Lord to come and be a part of this time. Let us remember that God did create everything, including us, but everything around us too. Friends, let us now prepare our hearts to worship the Lord.
Still away. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Rejoice in the Lord, O righteous, and give thanks to the Lord, O meek. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. God's greatness is unsearchable. And now if you'll turn to page 145 for Morning Has Broken.
I invite you to join with me by grabbing your hymnals and turning to page 39. Always a delight to have in our midst a baptism during worship, and we're thrilled today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price.
My name is Cheryl Merritt. I serve as co-lay leader with John Ginelli, and it's my pleasure to present Violet Ann Whalen for baptism. She's joined by her parents, Lindsay and Terry Whalen, and godparents, Kyle Shirey and Janet Whalen.
On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, please say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Amen. Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, please say, I will. Do you, the body of Christ, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. Do you believe in the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. Third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all the nations, declare his works to the nations, his glory among all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and she who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ,
who in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Hi, sweetie. Hello. Oh.
Violet Ann, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ through baptism. You're incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. You're all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Violet Ann to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Friends, as we turn in our hymnals to Child of Blessing, Child of Promise, I will come down the aisle, and here is the little candle here that you can take and light, and we'll see how she does here. You want to go see all of them? Thank you.
Stand if you are able for the reading of the scripture, which is Luke 5:33-39, can be found in your pew Bibles on page 59. Then they said to him, John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray, but your disciples eat and drink. Jesus said to them, you cannot make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is still with them, can you? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. He also told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it on to an old garment. Otherwise, the new will be torn, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But the new wine must be put into fresh wine skins, and no one after drinking old wine desires new wine, but says, the old is good. Thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our song will be on page 2052, The Lone Wild Bird.
And friends, we're going to sing the first and last of this song, the first and last verse.
Not a good sign when the host pastor starts cutting verses from the hymn before you preach. Yeah, I know. He was in the first service. He knows how long I go. The Pharisees are annoyed with Jesus. It's kind of a theme in the Gospels, actually, you know. The Pharisees are like the religious leaders of Jesus' day, and he's always doing things to kind of rile them and to annoy them. And in this case, it's having dinner at Matthew's, at Levi's house, with tax collectors and sinners. You know, Levi had just been called, and he was a tax collector who, they were typically corrupt and despised by their own people, the Jews. And then all kinds of other people, quote-unquote unsavory people, were there with Jesus. And so the Pharisees ask Jesus this question. They say, you know, our disciples and the disciples of John the Baptist fast. Why don't yours? Why do yours eat and drink? And Jesus answers them pretty much, well, they will, but not now. Because, see, Jesus was, his job was to inaugurate this thing called the kingdom of God. And he understood himself to be the bridegroom. And the kingdom of God was like this banquet, this wedding feast. And so he was saying to the Pharisees, you know, while the bridegroom is here, while I am here, it's time to celebrate. My disciples are celebrating. We are having our banquets together. When I leave, then they'll fast. And we know that after Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples, up until this day, we are all waiting for Jesus' return, when he will consummate the kingdom of God, when he will fulfill all things. But he responds to the Pharisees, not just with this idea of the banquet, but with a couple parables. The first is the one about the torn garment and the new cloth, and saying, you know, you don't repair, you don't patch a torn garment with a new piece of cloth. Now, when I was growing up and I, you know, tore the knee in my jeans, we had the iron-on patch. Do you remember those? Nowadays, you just throw the jeans away, or you buy your jeans with holes in them already. And Jesus is saying, you don't do that because the new cloth will shrink. And once it shrinks, the old cloth has already shrunk, and it will stretch and it will tear. And then in a similar vein, he says, you don't put old wine in new wineskins. Now, his followers, the people of his day, would have gotten these things immediately. They would understand, because wineskins were made of goat leather, and the goat leather, when it was new, a new wineskin, you would put new wine in it, and it would ferment, and it would create pressure, and it would stretch the wineskin. And because it was new, it had that give in it, it was able to stretch. But if after you drank all the wine out of the wineskin, if you put new wine into it again, once it were an old wineskin, it had no place to stretch. And the wine would ferment, and it would create pressure, and the wine would burst, and the wine would be gone. So what's Jesus telling us? Well, I want to suggest to you that the old wineskin is the law. You know, the Ten Commandments, the law that the Hebrews followed. And the wine itself that was created was this community of people who lived together serving God and each other. It's a good thing. And I want to suggest to you that the new wine is the kingdom of God. This framework, this reality that Jesus is bringing where the last are first and the humble are exalted. And the least and the last and the lost are loved and valued. And you know, what Jesus is saying is that somehow that old wine went bad. The Hebrews, you know, they had learned to follow God and to love each other and to create a community. But it had become something else altogether. It had become a religion of rules that decided who was in and who was out. So that by the time Jesus came along, really most of the people were out. Most of the people were sinners and not good enough for God's love. And the new wine that would fill this wineskin of the kingdom of God is God's grace. God's unconditional love for us. God loving us no matter what. And God loving the most unlovable among us. So what do these parables tell us? What do they tell the church today? Well, the first I want to suggest to you is if you want to have old wine, you got to make new wine. And you would think that Jesus at the end of this parable would say, you know, new wine is better. But he doesn't. He says that everybody who tastes old wine says that's better. And we know that that's true, right? Aged wine is better than new wine. And what he's saying is if you want to have good old wine, you got to start with new wine. You got to start doing something new. Now, in Jesus' day, religious people didn't like to change. It's not the way it is now, right? It's not the way it is here, right? So Jesus was kind of prodding them a little bit. You want old wine? You want good wine? You got to make new wine. What's God calling you, Aldersgate Church, to do that's new? At Pocomit this year, for the first time, we didn't print a brochure. Usually it's 16 or 20 pages on color glossy paper, and we mail 7,000 of them. Printed 10,000 and mail 7,000. But you know, we find that we don't have people who are using them. They end up on their countertop somewhere and they call us because they can't find them. And then they just go online and they get all the information anyway. So we decided, let's be good stewards of resources, of paper, of ink, of money, of energy to transport them by mailing and make them available online. Will it work? We don't know. But if you want to have new wine, old wine, you got to make new wine. And then secondly, if you want to have old wine, good wine, you got to make lots of it. You know, winemakers know that they really have a good wine, they have to experiment with a lot of different ways to do it. They have different varietals, and they'll try different blends, and they'll use different oak barrels, and they'll have different periods of aging, and they know that maybe not all of them are going to be good. But they do that so they can get the one that's really worth it. For us in the church, Jim Walker, who is the founder of Hot Metal Bridge Church in Pittsburgh. He's a United Methodist. He got together with a Presbyterian pastor, and the idea was hatched in a tattoo parlor. Okay, sounds a little bit like new wine to me. He calls it rapid prototyping. Try something new. If it doesn't work, try something else. Keep trying things, knowing that not everything is going to work. Don't make the stakes so high that if this doesn't work, we're doomed. Make lots of new wine and see what works. At Pecomoth, we try to offer two new camp programs a year or so, because we know that the young people's interests change, and we want to try to move with that. A few years ago, we started offering a camp called That's Not Camp, which is video game camp. Doesn't sound like camp, does it? But it connects with young people. Last year, we had two new programs. One was Top Chef Pecomoth. And we had a brand new retreat center with a professional kitchen, and our chef, who's professionally trained at a local restaurateur, taught kids how to cook. This is really cool. It was so popular that we had to offer a second session. That was my idea. We also offered something called field hockey camp. It was for middle school girls, and we wanted to teach them not only how to be good field hockey players, but also how to be good Christian athletes. How to win with dignity and lose with grace and focus on sportsmanship and teamwork. And we had four people sign up and we had to cancel it. That was my idea too. But it's okay. This year we're doing Archer Games. Have you read Hunger Games? It's kind of based on that, but you don't shoot at each other and everybody comes home alive. DIY crafts, you know? For girls who are interested in learning crafts. We don't know if they're going to work. It's okay. You got to make lots of new wine to get the one that really works. So what is God calling you to do? What thing might you do that might move this church in a new direction? What risk are you willing to take? Little risk. To try, even if it doesn't work. You see, I believe God's promise to us is that if we are willing to try, if we're willing to take that one step of faith, God won't reveal the whole journey to us, but He'll reveal the next step and the next step. And in doing that, we might not be successful in worldly terms, but God will bless us to bless others. Amen.
Friends, we're going to go ahead and move ahead in our program a little bit and go ahead to our offering section right now. It's a real delight today to have Joanna Gates with us. She's been here all morning long, sang at the 8:45, and is here to sing with us and for us here at the 11 o'clock service, and it's just a true joy to have her with us. So let us move ahead to our time of offering, and as we do so, let us do so in prayer. Gracious and everlasting Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for creation that you've given to us, that we may tend to it and care for it. Help us as we go to do that. In this moment, Lord, touch our hearts that as we give back a portion of what you've given to us, that we come with joy to give. Allow for that giving to be multiplied and expanded by your Spirit, that your kingdom as well may do the same. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Oh,
Please turn to your bulletins and join with me for a litany for Native American Awareness Sunday. This was written by Chief Siap. Every part of this earth is sacred. The rocky crest, the meadow, the beasts and all people all belong to the same family. Teach your children that the earth is our mother.
Whatever befalls the earth, befalls the children of the earth. We are part of the earth, and the earth is part of us.
The rivers are our brothers, they quench our thirst. The wind that gave our grandparents breath also receives their last sigh.
The wind that gave our children the spirit of life.
This we know, the earth does not belong to us.
We belong to the earth.
This we know, all things are connected.
Like blood which unites one family, all things are connected.
Our God is the same God whose compassion is equal for all. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves.
Let us give thanks to the web and the circle that connects us. Thanks be to God, the God of all.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our recessional hymn is number 189, Fairest Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may God abide with you this week in everything that you do. May the love of Jesus be in your heart, in every word that you say. And may the Spirit fill you and equip you in everything that you do in the name of Jesus Christ. For we pray it in his name. Amen.